In these uncertain times in which we live, there is a great need to understand and to have it settled clearly in our minds and hearts with a strong conviction of who's really in charge. Who's really in charge? Several weeks ago now, when this coronavirus thing interrupted our being able to assemble inside, I prepared a list of thoughts and scriptures, and I asked our faithful church secretary, Sister Heatherly, to send it out to you to read, to study, and to look up the scriptures, and I'm sure some of you did. It was entitled All Things, and I listed 20 things. So I wish to speak about just two or three of those this morning. The little two-word phrase, all things, is found many times in the Bible. Most folk think that God's in charge of some things, but we're talking about all things. A lot of folks would rather them be right and God be wrong. And if that be the case this morning, you will take offense at this. But I assert to you, God is right in all things, all the time. And for any who would fall out with me over these statements, they're biblical statements. It's God you'd fall out with, not me. It's His Word, not mine. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, a lot of religious-minded people, fed by mistaken preachers and teachers, read into this what it's not saying. They read into it that if you've been saved, you've quit everything bad and started everything good. The old is gone and you're into the new. You do everything right now and nothing wrong. Well, granted, that should be our goal, but the subject here is not conduct, but rather it's doctrine, which most people have no interest in. What Paul is saying is that salvation is in Christ. Get this phrase. Therefore, if a man be in Christ, and salvation is by a new covenant between the Father and the Son. Not like the old covenant, between God and men. According to the old covenant, the Old Testament, it's the same word, covenant and testament. According to the old, the law, a man had to be perfect, sinless, to be saved. Nobody was. Nobody was ever saved by keeping the law. The law was not given in the Old Testament as a remedy. It was given as a reminder that we need a remedy. Christ is that remedy. The New Covenant, which means New Testament, salvation is not on the basis of fallen man's obedience. My obedience, your obedience, but it's on the basis of Christ's obedience. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And if you can't believe that Christ did for you what God required of you, then you're still struggling under the old covenant to try and make the grade. Well, I got news for you. You'll never make it. When Paul says here, old things are passed away, he's saying we don't approach God in that old covenant anymore. We don't come through a human priest of the tribe of Levi. We don't offer animal sacrifices. But all things are become new. We're accepted of God in Christ, in His Son. Ephesians 1:6, we're made accepted in the Beloved. Not made acceptable, where He did His part and then you do yours. No, we're made accepted in the Beloved. Christ did it all. So that's the first all thing. All things are become new. Our acceptance is in Christ. And all the religious garbage that you hear, which men say will get God's attention for you, apart from Christ, is just that. Garbage. Garbage. Christ lived sinless. He died, was buried, and rose again, and ascended back into glory. Not as a private individual. He didn't even have to come here as a private individual. But He did all that as a representative person. All whom were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world were represented in all He did. We lived sinless in Him. We died with Him. We were buried with Him. We rose and ascended with Him. We're accepted in Him and seated with Him in the heavenlies. All things are become new in Christ. The next verse, verse 18, and all things are of God. And that's my subject. All things are of God. Now, this is God's Word, not mine, not yours. It's God's Word. Maybe we can just say that together. All things are of God. Say it out loud. All things are of God. Now, some of you are asking just how far can we take that statement? You can take it just as far as you can, far as your mind can imagine. Things past, things present, things future. All things are of God. That's what it says. Things pleasant, things unpleasant. Things precious, and things painful. All things are of God. When you've considered all that has ever been in this world, and all that is in this world, and all that shall be in this world, I assure you that somewhere in the eons of eternity past, for reasons known only to God, He ordered it. All things are of God. Now, some of you not with me yet, because there's some bad things happening in this world. Just hold on. Just hold on. Most folk believe there's a lot happens in this world that God never meant to happen. If that were the case, He's not much of a God. But I just read and repeated over and over, all things are of God. If you look inside of a clock or open the back of a pocket watch, you'll see wheels turning clockwise. And on the edge of that wheel will be little teeth. And they'll catch teeth in another wheel and turn it counterclockwise. Well, which one's right? They're both right. Which one's necessary? They're both necessary. This machine, God's creation, this earth and all that's in it, it's way too big for us. But all the wheels that we think are turning the right direction are of God. And all the wheels we think are turning the wrong direction are of God. All things are of God. And all the wheels are necessary for His eternal purpose, to His eternal glory. Now His glory includes His holy justice, that sin run its course and damn millions. That's as just as it can possibly be. The wages of sin is death. That's not unjust. And all God has to do to leave all of us to the effects of sin in us. If he just leaves us to ourselves and to sin in us, we'll everyone run headlong into hell with no thought of God and wouldn't have it any other way. He's the one takes the initiative. He's the one interrupts our sin-cursed lifestyle. Now, that He chose not to save everybody is not my business. But that He saved me, that's my business. The Bible teaches election, sanctification, predestination, regeneration, glorification. That's all belongs to Him. All things are of God. Verse 18 continues, who hath reconciled us, believers, to Himself by Christ Jesus. It's His doing. Now let me go to one more. Romans 11:36. God's glory is the big issue. A lot of people never realize that. They think God's willing to do everything, including give up being God, just for you. No, no. Everything is working to His eternal glory. He'll be glorified in all whom He's chosen to save. That'll be with Him for eternity. And He is glorified in the just wages of sin, in all who perish forever. His glory is first. It's the big issue. Romans 11:36 says, for of Him, and through Him, and to Him, that is to His glory, are all things. All things? All things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Of Him, He's the source. Through Him, He's the channel. And to Him, He's the end. All things. The great old songwriter, William Cooper, who wrote that beautiful hymn, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. He also wrote this hymn, God moves in a mysterious way. I know some good religious folks and how for 50 years that would say, oh no, it's not mysterious to me. And they can tell you what all God's in and what all God's not in, what's of God and what's of the devil. And they'll as good as say, I've got Him all figured out. No, no, we haven't. We haven't. God moves in a mysterious way His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Do you know anybody else that big? No, you don't. The next line. Ye fearful saints. Are there any of those here today? you fearful saints. Fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break with blessing on your head. You say, well, I sure don't see any mercy or any blessing in my predicament. That's right, you don't. Many people have asked me in their hour of deepest sorrow, why did God let this happen? Why did God let it happen to me? Well, I don't have the answer, but I know this. God does good for His children. And this present evil world is not our home. Of that I am sure. You see, He's not working to make us what we want to be. That's the way a lot of people tell it. He's working to make us what He's predestined us to be. Like His Son. Like His Son. If He did everything I want, the way I want, I'd never be conformed to the image of His Son. But that's exactly what we're predestinated to. Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, not what, but whom, He predestinated people, His children. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. That means predetermine the destination. He also did predestinate to what? To be conformed to the image of His Son. That He, His Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Bless His holy name. Cowper continued in that hymn, judge not the Lord by feeble sense. That's about all we've got, is feeble sense. Don't think you're smart enough to declare that He's ever wrong about anything. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Don't take it on yourself to judge the Lord whether He's done right. He has and does and will. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, when you think God's mad at you, behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. He's looking way on up the road. You and I can't even see tomorrow. Next line of the old hymn, blind unbelief is sure to err and scan His work in vain. We look at some of what God does and say, wow, this is not worth anything. This is vain. That ought not been. I could have done without that. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan His work in vain. But God is His own interpreter. Uh-oh. You mean men are wrong to tell us God said this, but He meant that? He said such and such, but He meant the other? Yes, they're wrong. God meant what He said and all He said, just like He said it. The problem is only the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, who wrote it, can interpret it. People have told me many, many times, well, I just don't understand the Bible. The Bible is not to be understood. It has to be revealed by the author of it. God is His own interpreter, and He will make it plain. And unless He does, and until He does, make it plain in your heart. Here's your future. You'll prefer a religion that puts God at your mercy instead of you at His. That's what's being preached all over this country this morning. God wants you. He needs you. He's begging you. Please give Him a chance. In other words, you're bigger than He is. He's helpless without your permission. That's not right. All things are of God. Saul of Tarsus, go read it, Acts chapter 9. Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus and decided to make a decision for Jesus. Is that what the Bible says? No. Saul said, there was one bigger than I overtook me in the way and overwhelmed me. And I called him Lord. And I've been calling him Lord ever since. And I asked him, Lord, what would you have me to do? He changed my life. Not when I asked him to. But he said later in Galatians 1:15, when it pleased God to reveal His Son in me. That's when He did it. That's when things get done. Psalm 110 verse 3, Thy people, the people the Father gave to the Son from eternity, Thy people shall be willing in the day of Thy power. That's the only time anybody is willing. I can't talk you into turning to Jesus. No. You're determined to go to hell unless He steps in. Now that's a fact. The only time anyone is willing is when the author of this book, the Holy Ghost, in conviction, convicts of sin and arrests your soul. Otherwise, you'll perish in your sins and wouldn't have it any other way. He's God in all. All things are of God. And unless He does that, some of you will fall out with me and go join some crowd that praises each other rather than God. But all things are of God. You say, now, are you saying everybody that don't believe like you do is going to hell? Leave me out of it. I'm saying everybody that don't believe God's going to hell. This is His word. It's in Him that we live and move and have our being. You don't need to do business with a church. You don't need to do business with a preacher. You don't need to get religious and try to turn over a new leaf. Fiddle on that. You need to crawl off somewhere and do business with God. For of Him and through Him and to Him are how many things? All things. To whom be glory forever. The prophet Jonah, I'll say our brother Jonah, twin brother at that. You didn't know you had a twin, did you? Oh yeah, Jonah, your twin brother. He thought like you think. He ran like you run. He told God no like you do. He's full of stubborn pride like you are. Yep, he's your twin brother, all right. But he finally confessed. He was finally brought to confess. Not by his own free will, but because he was locked up. He was whipped. And he finally confessed in Jonah 2:9, salvation is of the Lord. It finally registered with him that before I came forth from my mother's womb, plumb until the moment I take my last breath, God has been active in saving me. You ought to think about that. From the mother's womb to the last breath, He's been active saving me. Not just when I was running toward Him, but while I was running from Him. All that seemingly drove me from God was of God. Don't give the devil any credit. And all that drew me to God was of God. All things are of God. And then this sick generation of fleshly religion, grinning like a mule eating sawbriars, says, I'm glad I decided to accept Jesus. Anything you decided will put you in hell. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not just from the Lord. Everybody knows that. It's of the Lord. And all things are of God. This is so comforting to my heart this morning. I don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't either. But I tell you one thing. I'll sleep tonight unless something changes. I'm not worried about it. All things are of God. Our God never slumbers nor sleeps. Therefore I can. He is ever moving toward the fulfillment of His eternal purpose. He's right on schedule. There's no little peons like you and I or any otherbody else in this world that's messing Him up. Like the big Rottweiler trotting down the sidewalk. And the little Chihuahua inside the fence. Yep, 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 yep. Like he's going to eat that big dog up. When that big dog could bite him in two with one bite. We're like the little Chihuahua. Yep, 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 yep. Here's how it is. Oh, God's so proud of me. Hey. Didn't affect the Rottweiler at all. He just keeps on trucking down the street. He don't even give that little Chihuahua the time of day. If you think you're messing God up, you got another thought coming. If you think you're interrupting God, you got another thought coming. If you think God's at your mercy and begging you to turn around, you got another thought coming. If He wants you turned around, He'll do it. He'll do it. All things are of God. It's like the human heart that beats continuously. Whether we're asleep or awake, even without our consciousness, it pumps blood through this body. And it does it faithfully. So our God, even in our unconsciousness, whether we're asleep or awake, He works tirelessly into bringing this thing into our lives and this thing out of our lives. And every pleasant thing and every painful thing, all things are of God. He knows what He's doing. I don't know what He's doing. I don't know half the time what I'm doing. But He does. Now in conclusion, let me tell you, put it like this. To tell it from God's side, no wind can blow wrong or too strong. No event is early or late, or a mistake from God's side. No result is disastrous in the lives of His children. Nothing can befall us but prosperity. That's God's side. Every stone that pounds us and falls to the ground, it but paves the path to eternal glory. That's God's side. Thou art all fair, my love. Thou art all fair. There is no spot in thee. Satan says, but what about your sin? What about his sin? What about her sin? God says, what sin are you talking about? It's gone. My son bore it on the cross. That's God's side of the story. I'm telling you, everything is running on his schedule, exactly as he decreed and designed. Nothing is out of his control. A lot of things out of my control. Nothing out of his control. Now, that's God's word. That's God's word. Don't just believe me, believe him. Let me give you some scriptures that says what I've been saying. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. All the history of this world, including your little part, was in the mind and purpose of God before he ever hung the stars. Psalm 115, verse 3. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Not just what you let him, but whatsoever he hath pleased. That's God's word on the matter. Deuteronomy 32, 39. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. Wow. This is our God talking. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. All things are of God. Isaiah 14, 27. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? Cancel it. His hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Daniel 4:35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? All things are of God. Isaiah 45:5-7 says this, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. He does that in your life. I make peace and create evil. He does that in your life. I, the Lord, do all these things. All things are of God. The prophet Amos, chapter 3 and verse 6. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? Ephesians 1:11. It's the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. All things are of God. You say, but preacher, What about what happened to me? That awful thing that happened to me ought not to happen to anybody. Oh, your problem is in thinking you deserved better. You didn't. If you're God's child, get this now, if you're God's child, His mercy is in giving you whatever it takes to crush you and conform you to the image of His Son. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, right now. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. God's going to see to it. You say, oh, I'm trying to live Christ-like. Well, your religious efforts is not doing much good at it. He'll look nothing like you act. But hey, how's He doing it? He's doing it through circumstances, through heartbreakings, heart crushings, pains, pleasant, precious. He's all things. He's in all the sunshine and all the storms. Nahum 1:3, the Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm. That means the whirlwind and the storm in your life. When things get so bad, you decide it'd be better to forget God and make it on your own. Many a fool has taken that road. Don't run from the Lord. Run to Him. Even the worthless vine, even the poison oak vine that some of you are starting to avoid right now, it can't stand on its own. It clings to the mighty oak to survive and to thrive. Cling, cleave to the Lord. In Acts chapter 11, Barnabas at Antioch, he exhorted the people, believers, that with purpose of heart, they should cleave unto the Lord. And that's my exhortation to you today. The answer is not in Washington. The answer is not anywhere in this world. It's above this world. My exhortation to you today, whatever comes and goes in your life, with purpose of heart, that is, purpose it in your heart to cleave unto the Lord. Why? Because all things are of Him. He's always in the know. He's always in control. He's always right. He always wins. All things are of God.